Today we'll be continuing our series on missions, and I hope you enjoy this message and hope you hear the Lord speaking to you as he's spoken to me during my time in study and just reading the stories on the missionaries' work here in the Alliance. But before we get started, let us go to the Lord in prayer and just ask for the Holy Spirit to rest upon the speaker, those who will be hearing this word, and the word itself. Father God, we just want to thank you once again for this day and this opportunity to be in your presence, Lord. Father, as we prepare to hear your word, Lord, I pray that you go before number one, your speaker, Lord. Father, give me your tongue, your spirit, the words you want your people here this morning to hear. And I pray that as the word is spoken, it will reach the hearts of your people here and provoke and prick them to say yes to you. Father, I pray in the midst of our time together that you will be exalted, glorified, and praised. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as a member of the Christian Missionary Alliance for less than 2 years now, I've been inspired by Pastor Tony's messages in the CMA History on Missions. To hear how God's people were and still are willing to give up the comforts of life to go to remote places to share the gospel is encouraging. Learning different languages and cultures, as well as living among other ethnicities, all for the glory of God. My awareness on the importance of missions and those who serve as missionaries have been heightened in the past 2 weeks. But I have come to realize that each of us as Christians has received the same opportunities to go. However, before we attempt to serve God in the mission field, we must first understand that missions is a divine work. It's a holy calling ordained by God himself. It's not an assignment or a task that anyone should seek on their own. The Holy Spirit is the one that stirs up the believer to the missionary occupation to go. It's a life that is totally surrendered to the Master who calls, and the believer who will respond with a yes when given the opportunity to show Jesus in order to share Jesus with others. In my readings this week in the Missionary Alliance magazine, there's a quote that really stood out to me, and I kind of base my outline from it. Dr. C.D. McCraig states, the occupation of missionary work requires dedication, and dedication requires preparation of the heart and mind. Today, I want us to look at how dedication and preparation equips us for missionary work from the book of Isaiah and in the life of missionaries Ted and Sarah Kane. Again, this is from the publication, The Alliance Life. So for those of you who take notes, excuse me, I have 4 points, and the first point is to be dedicated to the missionary occupation, one must encounter the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "In the year King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his robe filled the temple." In this passage, we immediately see a life-altering change taking place. And many of us don't like change. But here we see Israel's successful and godly king of 52 years has now died. And under King Uzzah, he was a very successful king during Israel's reign. He led them to many military victories. He expanded their territory, and they also enjoyed a great deal of prosperity because he was a king that did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But now Isaiah and Israel had to deal with the unexpected, the uncertainty of what's going to happen next. And the same thing for us. We too have life-altering changes or events in our life that we don't know what's going to happen next. The death of a spouse or a parent, or to a lesser degree, when our godly leader or friends move on to a different calling. Those life-changing events often causes us, just like it did Isaiah here, to take our eyes off of the Lord. But I believe God gave this vision to Isaiah to remind him he's still on the throne. He's in control of the circumstances surrounding Isaiah and Israel in this vision. And as the passage says, He demonstrates this by his position. He's high and lifted up. I believe God reminds us today, just as he did Isaiah, that we need to take our perspectives off of ourselves and the surrounding circumstances and look up where he is exalted still. As I mentioned, I will be kind of intertwining the stories of the missionaries that I read on this week. So I'm going to go from this perspective. For missionaries Ted and Sandy Kang from Boston, their dream was to go to China as missionaries after a two-year commitment serving as interns. But their commitment would be extended two more years, and they began to question God about their calling. After wrestling with their decision, Ted had his encounter with the Lord in a dream, when he took his eyes off of the Lord. He took his eyes off of the Lord because they had it all planned out. They were graduate from seminary school and go serve these 2 years, and off they were going to go to China. But things didn't go quite as planned. God had different plans for them. Their internship was extended by 2 years. And they were struggling with the fact that they had already planned out what they were going to do. But as he encountered this dream from the Lord, and this is point number two, he acknowledged God's presence. In verse 3 it says, "And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, for the Lord, for the whole earth is full of his glory.'" In this passage of scripture, we see the angels, the angelic beings, the seraphims proclaiming God's greatest attribute, his holiness. And what I find ironic about this verse, reading it so many times, that they weren't speaking to the Lord. They were praising one another about who God is. And Isaiah is a witness to all of this. He sees God for who he is, holy, pure, and perfect in all his ways, set apart from all of his creation. In the midst of a life-changing circumstance, Isaiah's focus was shifted from himself to the holiness of God. And I believe when we have that life-changing circumstance happen in our lives, our shift should not focus on that circumstance. While we will experience and go through it, our focus shouldn't be there, but it should shift immediately to our God. And we can accomplish that by just going to him, seeking him in prayer, and knowing that he's the one that's high and lifted up. In Ted's dream, Ted and his wife Sandy was paddling in a tiny wooden boat on their way to the mission field in China, just the two of them. But in the next phase of this dream, Ted saw a fleet of military-style battleships ready for battle, filled with other people going to the mission field. Ted would acknowledge in this moment God's presence, that he would say, through this dream, God was reminding us that he was in charge, that he would provide the personnel and the resources to accomplish his will to get the gospel to China. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Again, when we are saying yes to our master, we have to surrender our thoughts, our ways, as to what we feel that we should be doing, and understanding that it's him that's calling us to serve him. As we go forward, I want to talk about our preparation for the missionary occupation. And this is a tough subject, because that begins when we admit our sinful condition before the Lord and allow him to make us useful for his ministry. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.'" Isaiah experienced grief, regret, and great affliction over his sinful, unrighteous speech. as he witnessed the angels praise God in the purity and humility in heaven. And again, they were praising God to each other, not even looking at God, but they were praising God to one another. So Isaiah was there witnessing worship in its purest sense. But he also senses depravity standing in the presence of the Lord. In the book Soul Care by Rob Reiner, he states, self-awareness is the gateway for change. God shines light, because he is light, 1 John 1:5 states, into our souls to reveal the truth about us. Our job is to stand in the light with God and admit the truth. So just vision, as you're reading this passage, Isaiah is still standing in the presence of a holy God, a pure God, a righteous God. He had no choice but to reveal the truth about himself. That's why he said, I'm a man of unpure lips, unclean lips. Because we cannot heal that which we cannot admit. And more importantly, God cannot cleanse that which we will not confess. As 1 John 1:9 would say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Amen? He's faithful to. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing, that purging that Isaiah is talking about here wasn't judgment. As the scripture says, the angel touched my mouth with it, touched his mouth with it and said, your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged, your sin is taken away, your iniquity is no more. Cleansing in our lives isn't about judgment. It's about freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin, the secrecy of it, the ugliness that it has in our lives. But instead, it gives us the ability to walk in light with God and enjoy his presence. It is when we allow the potter, which is the Lord, to have his way with us that we can become a vessel for honor, to be sanctified and useful to him for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. For Pastor Ted, it was this self-awareness in his own life that led him to evaluate the sin of pride and trusting in the plans of himself, going to China, serving as a missionary without asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? Pastor Ted would later say, all I ever need is to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit and say yes, even when the steps seem like a detour. The fourth point is accepting the call. Verse 8 reads, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? We have an omniscient, meaning all-knowing God. So why is he asking, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Because God is looking and seeking for a peculiar person to fulfill his task to go and share the gospel. The Lord wants a sanctified life. Missions, again, is a divine work. One must be set apart from the world and unto him to fulfill that holy calling to take God's word and share it with those who do not know him or even heard of his name. He wants a life that's willing to go to the unknown and unfamiliar places to share Jesus so that that life would be willing to go to the unknown and unfamiliar people to show Jesus. And lastly, he wants a surrendered life to the call to his thoughts and ways. Again, as I think of Ted and Sandy Kane, their goal all along was to go to China. Go to China, that's what we want to do. But that wasn't God's plans. And through this and through these steps, God eventually led them to understand, I've called you. You're not your own. And the same thing goes for us. He's called each of us in Christ. We're not our own. So as I wrap this up, I'm going to go to the final verse, the final section of this verse. It says, then I said, Isaiah is speaking here, then I said, here I am, send me. When Isaiah experienced God's grace, he immediately felt compelled to serve the Lord. The joy of his salvation has been restored, and his fellowship with God was once again bright and just honorable. It was at this point he was willing to do anything for the Lord. We're better equipped to serve the Lord when we understand that it's not our will, but his will. We're better equipped because God is working on those things to tweak our understanding as to what he needs us to be able to do when he calls us to the mission field. For Isaiah, it was being able to speak on the Lord's behalf with a pure tongue. For the kings that we'll see later, it was their willing to surrender or submit their will to God's will and not worry about going to China to serve the Lord, but to serve him wherever he called them to. The Lord knows what we need to fulfill our mission, and it's up to us to be a willing servant to say yes, Lord, and do what he's asked us to do. Ted and Sandy remained at their church for another 7 years. During that time, they planted a new church and once again felt the call to go elsewhere. But again, God had other plans. Their senior pastor left the ministry, and his replacement died a year later with a mysterious autoimmune disease. So guess what? God would call them as Korean missionaries who didn't speak a word of Chinese to lead, of all things, a Chinese church. Ted and Sandy would again say yes to God and lead a church that they weren't prepared for. 21 years ago, Ted and Sandy thought they would go to China to be missionaries, but little did they know they would go to China right here in the United States. Their church, San Jose Christian Alliance, currently exalts the name of Jesus in 7 other languages. But Ted will later say they no longer need to know exactly where God is taking them in order to follow him. All we will ever need walking in the future is the courage and the faith to say yes to whatever assignment he's given to us. And as we stand here today singing songs of I surrender all, and you're a good, good father, perfect in all your ways, are we willing to surrender our lives? We've had the encounter. We met with him today. I would hope that as you and I come to church each and every week, we come with the expectation of encountering our God. And not just encountering him, but acknowledging his presence. He is holy. We sung this song today. He's perfect. He's righteous. He's pure. He's loving. He's all those things. But then comes that tough part where you and I are going to admit our shortcomings, or that word we don't like to say in front of one another, much less God, our sin. Are we going to come to him and admit our sin and say, Father, I'm a man of impure lips. I'm a gossiper. I may not be loving my wife correctly. I stand up here today as your pastor, having to confess to the Lord, Father, I'm not perfect. I need you to use my tongue for your glory to get your message out. Are we willing to have those conversations with our God so that we would be a useful, honorable, sanctified vessel for his use? As I close, I want to share with you a song that I've been listening to the past couple of days. It's by Brian Courtney Wilson. It says, I'll just say yes. It says, this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. So I ask you today, will you say yes to him? Father, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity again to share your word. And I pray, Father, as we sit here today and reflect on what we've heard, that if you've spoken to us, that we would say yes. Yes to serve you right where we are. Yes to serve you wherever you call us. But I also pray, Father, that you would shine that light on our lives to show us, to reveal to us, those impurities that may prevent us from serving you as you've called us to. So, Father, have your will right now in the lives of your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reggie. Reggie's already mentioned Isaiah 6. I just wanted to read the entire passage again that he spoke from. Isaiah chapter 6, it's the vision and the calling of Isaiah. And he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above the seraphim, or above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the sound of their voices, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand. With it he had taken it with the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. A few of the things that it mentions, the year that King Uzziah died. And as Reggie mentioned, King Uzziah had been a good king. There were bad kings and good kings. He had been a good king, and he reigned for 52 years, half a century. He didn't live half a century. He reigned as king for half a century. So now this is hard. There's a lot of instability at this moment. And just like in our world today, right, we're in a pandemic, things happen, and we're kind of wondering what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or with the next election and who or what is going to be leading us and what's going to happen. And in that moment of uncertainty, God appears on his throne to let Isaiah know, Isaiah, I am still on my throne, right? Men come and go. Leaders rise and they fall. I am on my throne. But this is a terrifying encounter and vision. As we look at Isaiah seeing God, encountering him on his throne, Isaiah responds by saying, I am ruined. In other words, I'm a dead man. I am undone. I'm dead. And he falls to the ground. And the reason is, you know, the angels, he sees these three angels crying out, holy, holy, holy. Now, the Bible, the only attribute of God that is declared three times is his holiness. The Bible says God is love, but not God is love, love, love. But God is holy, holy, holy. He is seeing God in his perfection, in all of his glory. That's why these angels can't even look at God themselves. They have to cover their faces. And Isaiah sees this, and that's why he falls down to the ground. So one of Reggie's points was that in order to go, in order to be called, we have to have an encounter with God. And that's what Isaiah is having, an encounter with God. And in this encounter, it's a terrifying encounter. He's seeing God in his holiness, and he responds that way because when he encounters, and here's the next thing that he mentions, Isaiah had to acknowledge his sin because he really couldn't hide it. Once you step into the holy presence of God, everything is revealed. Ladies, you've all seen these, and guys, we've probably played around with them in the mall when you go by like the makeup counter, and they have those round mirrors with a light around it that is like a magnifying mirror. I mean, it blows up everything. It's fun to look at least when I was a kid, but I don't even want to get close to one now because it shows every blemish and pore. I mean, it's huge. You're like, oh my goodness, it's horrifying. At least to me it is. It's like nightmares because of that kind of stuff. And that's that's just a little glimpse of what it's like when you step into the holy. See, that's what's happening to Isaiah. He has seen God in all of his perfection and holiness. And every blemish, every sin is just exposed. There's no hiding. So he has an. So if we're going to be used by God to this degree, because he was already being used by God, Isaiah was already being used by God. But to be used by God now, God at this level of anointing, he had to encounter the presence of God, which is terrifying. But that's not what made Isaiah so unique, because what I love about Isaiah, it's different. I want to be like Isaiah as opposed to Moses. When God called Moses, says, Moses, I need you to go. What did Moses say? Nope. Nope, send somebody else, God. And God says, no, I'm sending you. Now get up and go. And not in those words, but. And then Jeremiah, I'm calling you. And Jeremiah says, I'm just a boy. I'm just a kid. And God says, don't say that you're too young. I will put my words in your mouth. God doesn't call Isaiah. God just simply says, who will go for us? And who will we send? He doesn't say, Isaiah, will you go? He just makes known to Isaiah that he needs somebody. And Isaiah says, hey, God, here I am. Send me. Why is Isaiah different from Jeremiah and different from Moses? Because he encountered the glory of God. But then, because if it's just the glory of God, we end with that verse, I'm dead, I'm ruined. And he just sits there on the floor. It's what he encountered next, which was the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, where the angel goes, and the angel goes with a live coal, and this isn't a vision, right? But and the angel is using tongs because the thing is so hot. And he touches it to Isaiah's lips. I mean, it's burning hot coal. But there's no sign that Isaiah's lips get burned. It's like the burning bush. Moses encountered God in the fire, but the bush was not consumed. And like Pentecost, the disciples encountered the Holy Spirit in fire, yet were not consumed. So he experiences the grace of God. He sees all of his sin. He falls down on the ground, and God says, I've forgiven you. I think that's what radically changed Isaiah, so that Isaiah is like, the goodness of God, not the wrath of God, the anger of God, the holiness of God, but the goodness of God. Amen. So that's what compels mission. That's what compels Isaiah, compels the missionaries, that compels Ted and his wife to go overseas or to go to California and pastor this church. It's what compels us to go to our neighbors, the goodness and the grace of God, that God will wash away and cleanse all of our sin, all the imperfections, because of his mercy. All we have to do is ask him to. But like we said from last week in that video, and we quoted in this passage from Romans 10, but how can they call on the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear, right, unless they are told? And how can they told unless someone is sent? So, as Reggie ended there saying, are you willing to go? Last week, someone came up, and it was Leroy came up. Leroy sent me an email saying he's willing to go. Not just here, but willing to go wherever the Lord calls him. And maybe there's someone else. And next week, we have our missionaries coming. It's going to be an exciting time the next 2 weeks. You should have received something in the mail with all the information and the schedule, because we have special meetings with the missionaries starting next Sunday. And we want you to not miss and be a part of all of that. So we're going to worship and just respond. As God is calling you, God is calling us as a church to be missional, to experience his glory, his holiness, but then also his love. You know, in that moment when Isaiah experiences the glory of God, he falls down on his face. That's the natural response when we are exposed. Adam ran from God's presence. Isaiah falls down on the ground. He's like, I can't look at God. The angels can't even look at God. I can't look at God. But God, as our Father, wants to lift us up. He wants to lift up our eyes. He wants to come to us and lift up our eyes and see us. Fix our eyes on him and see the mercy in his eyes. So, Father, we want to respond this morning. We want to worship and respond to you. But right before we sing the songs, right there where you are, let's just have a time of ministry and do it right now. Let's just close our eyes and in our hearts, in our minds, let's step into the light of the holiness of God. Let's step in there with all of the blemishes and all of the shame and all this junk. It's hard to do that. It's uncomfortable. We don't want to bring it up, but we want to encounter God more. And we'd rather be uncomfortable and exposed in the presence of God than not experience God. So just imagine the throne of God, the seraphim flying around God in all of his glory, and holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Just bow before his presence and just confess, Father, here I am. I am undone. Like Isaiah, I cannot stand before your presence. And then picture the Lord Jesus Christ coming over to you and taking you, putting his hand underneath your chin and just lifting up your gaze and say, and hear his voice say, look at me. Look at me. And look up into his eyes and hear him say, your sins are atoned for. I forgive you. I love you. I cleanse you. And as he puts his hands on your shoulders and stands you to your feet, just wrapping his arms around you right now, so much that you're just lost. I mean, his arms come all the way around you and engulf you, and you're lost with your head rested upon his chest, his chin right on top of your head, and he's just speaking over you. Just listen to what he has. He probably has something specific to say to each of you. So whatever he has to say, Lord Jesus, will you speak it right now to every one of us as we are in your embrace. Speak, Lord.